Paul invites us to be children of light. And he tells us a little bit about what that is all about. He tells us, first of all, to be children of light, that you deal with all of the things that are good in life. And we know that there's much in life that is good. And we want to focus on those good things in our lives. You know, sadly, we have people in our world who, for some reason, are just drawn to the negative. That, you know, if they have an opportunity to say something good or negative, negative just comes out of their mouths. And, you know, it's kind of hard to see people like that as children of light. Paul says we have to try. And we try by learning what God wants us to do. You know, we can look at life as a beautiful, wonderful experience, even though we live in a sometimes horrible, dark, and sinful world. It depends on our point of view. Do we want to have kingdom eyes? Do we want to look at things the way God wants us to see them? I mean, if we have any hope in eternal life, it's hope that in spite of the darkness, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the pain and the agony we go through, regardless of the ugliness of our world, that we choose, we make a choice to see the light. That at least in confronting the ugliness of life, we know there's another choice. And we choose to be children of light, to take our stand there, to make a difference in the world, and to speak up and bring things to light that need to be examined. Children of light are people who do the good things, who try to know and understand what God wants, and try to bring things from darkness into light. You know, some people think, I believe, that they're being peacemakers when they avoid conflict. And they allow things to just lie in the darkness and create problems for other people. We don't want to bring it up, especially in the life of the church. We don't want to deal with it. It might stir some people up. But you know, a lot of times once it gets into the light, it's not as bad as we thought it would be. Once things are exposed and come out from the darkness, God puts God's slant on it and gives it a new perspective. We've got to trust this God who needs us as children of light in this world. And yet sometimes we can just be so spiritually blind. The reading from the Old Testament today is from the book of Samuel. And, you know, I've read this passage many times before. I'm sure you have. When Samuel has to follow God's will and find a new king. But it struck me as a little humorous as I read this week. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. How long are you going to hold on to the past? How long are you going to hold on to negative things when they're not going to work with my plan? How long are you going to sit in darkness when a few steps away is the beautiful light of my love?" And poor old Samuel, as faithful as he was, as God's servant, was kind of stuck because things didn't work out with Saul. I guess I thought that was a little humorous because I've done that so many times. Just hadn't wanted to move on. Have not wanted to recognize that it's time to move on, that God's calling me to move on to something new, to something better. I'm having a hard time letting go of the past, and it's no longer God's will. Have there been things in your life like that? It's hard to let go. I can identify with Samuel. And then I also have Samuel's problem because, you know, when Samuel went to see Jesse's sons, you know, he looked at them, and Oh, here's a strong man. Surely this is going to be the king. No, God doesn't want that one. Here's another one. Oh, I can see the qualities in him. This is the one God wants for king. No, that's not the one God wants. And then he finally asks, do you have any more sons? And they call in puny little David. I mean, David was so puny and insignificant, it wasn't even important for him to be there when they asked for all the sons to be there. And yet, that's the one. That's the one God chose. That's where God's light shone. And poor old Samuel, he was just blind. On the one hand, he was still holding on to why Saul hadn't worked out. And then he looked at solving the situation with worldly eyes, making judgments the way the world makes judgments. And that's not always the way God works and brings his light into the world. Who would have ever thought a child born in a manger would be the Savior of the world? Certainly most of the Jews didn't accept that. But thank God a few did, and some Greeks and others. And we're here today because of the unlikely choice of a baby born in Bethlehem named Jesus, who was to be the light of the world. Born in a cave, born in a stall, strange place, to ignite the world and set it afire with something new. The gospel reading for today deals with the man born blind, and Jesus healed him. And you know, he really broke a big rule. He did it on the Sabbath. They were always getting him for that. He healed this man on the Sabbath, and they questioned the man and sent him away. They questioned his parents, sent them away, called the man back, questioned him again. By this time, the man born blind was confused and says, "What? Do you want to be his disciple too? Oh, how insulting that he should even suggest anything." And they cast him out. And he leaves, I think, pretty much utterly confused. And it says here in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered him, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he." And he said, "Lord, I believe. I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." What does that mean for our lives? Sometimes, like the situation with Samuel sent to help choose a new king, the people you would expect to be the leaders aren't the real leaders. The people in the world who seem to have the knowledge that's necessary to move us ahead aren't the truly knowledgeable people. The people who tell us about a vision for a company or a church or a community or a nation or a group of nations may be blind spiritually. Jesus came to give sight to those who are blind by the standards of this world, and to blind those who think they have the right vision. How do you know who's who and what's what? If you're children of light, you'll recognize the truth of God, because his light will shine in these people. Are you children of light? Or are we all a little too much like Samuel? We know there's a God. We know he's leading us to something good. But we look at the world from just a human point of view instead of from a godly one. Paul says, be children of light. Try to know the things of God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you so much that in this holy communion, you invite us into a holy moment where we can confess our blindness on the human level and seek sight from a heavenly one. That we can confess our inability to truly move forward because we don't see your great and glorious vision. But as we take the bread and the cup, as Jesus becomes real to us in this holy communion, as we humble ourselves before you and we pray these prayers, we will know the light of Christ, and we will walk in that light forevermore. Bless us, that indeed we might be children of light. Amen.